episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Now recording. Good evening. This is Rick and Roro. On July the 19th, apparently, Roro just told me. Saturday the 19th of July 2025. So we're nearly in August. It's going to be Christmas. But then Christmas decorations will be on sale, I reckon, in a month's time. That's how fast this year's gone. Rollo, this is episode number 39, I do believe, of this wonderful show.
Rick and Rollo, 39. G'day, Rick.
Not as good. Last
How's your week?
Show, it was fantastic, but, let me think. It was all right. I can't complain. My wife is about to go
to the fridge and get me a beer. How about that? I'm about to move out of here. My wife's about to grab me a beer. I've almost moved. So that's
what do you mean almost moved? Have you gotten stuff over there, all your clothes?
You're a hoarder. You understand what it's like to be a hoarder.
Yes,
you got your record story you're about to tell us. But my hoarding goes over 30 years at that other place. We got rid of half of it. Half of it came here and I didn't want and all that shit going there, so we had to.
Where have you put it at Christie's place? It's not like she had a lot of room to get hoarded.
Well, that's funny, but we found again. It's not that small. It's actually a lovely little place that she's got here.
I would call it Prince's.
You know how Prince, the musician, had a place that was so secure I love this place in
Minneapolis of all places.
Yeah. I think it's just secure. It's just naturally secure here. And that's why I like it. Yeah. I would have bought that, but my place is so much more handy for me because it's like, again, that 2-3 minutes from the train station, you can get to the train tracks.
You can actually get to the train tracks
about probably 20 seconds. You could scale the fence and get to the train track.
Right.
Yeah, well, but if you just wanted to sit there and train spot, have you ever sat there right next to the tracks while the train's going past you? It's an incredible feeling.
I have enough problems with road trains, and I'm talking about big, you know, B doubles or whatever they call them. I've got a van with a really heavy door, right? And the other day I was parked on the side of the road and where was I? In Kalungaluk. We got great names over here. Even harder to spell.
I know where Kalungaluk. That's in the middle of WA.
Kalungaluk. It sounds like going over a bridge. Anyway,
I know where Kalungaluk is. Where am I thinking of? What's in the middle of WA? It's not Kalungaluk.
No, I don't go via WA to go home.
There's a brothel out there. Remember, there's a mining town. I'm thinking of Kalgoorlie.
Oh yeah, Coober Pedy.
Well, Coober Pedy. Kalungaluk. I know exactly where you are. That's near Taree.
Anyway, it's 80 kilometres an hour, right? At there, which is quite slow compared to 110. I was parked, and I've got the side doors on my van are heavy duty, and I had it slightly open, and one of these trucks went past at what is supposedly 80 kilometres an hour, and it almost ripped the door. If I'd had it like a shitty little car, the door comes swinging right open, just the suction of the, what do you call it, you know, the velocity of the...
Yeah, sure.
The velocity...
The vacuum.
Yeah. A train would suck you under almost.
You'd probably get stuck under. No, it doesn't. No, you sit next to them and they just don't come fast enough. Especially the coal wagons and that. I will do it. I've done it so many times, and you just sit there and it's therapeutic. It really is. It's train spotting. Train spotters in America or in England, sorry.
What do you mean?
You know what train spotting?
Yeah. There are train spotters all along the – every time I go on Saturday morning.
So they sit there with their little pads and they're just – they're on the spectrum or something.
They set their cameras up.
That's what they do, and it makes them happy.
Yep. Have you seen that kid? He's like, I don't know if he's on the spectrum or not. He gets really excited really easily. Mm. He's like a young Joel, I'll call him, a young Joel, but not that Joel gets excited easily. But this kid is obsessed with trains.
We've got to be nice to him.
Yeah. Imagine if Bellisette had autism quite severely or Asperger's. Badly.
Well, he certainly does not have that.
But this kid is like, I'm talking about, he's much younger. He'd be 15 or 16 or 17. And he does these train, he goes all around the world going to different trains. And he got invited and paid to come to Sydney.
Oh, he's a TikToker, YouTuber type thing.
He just goes over the, he gets to a train station, he gets really excited all the time when these trains are.
He'd
actually listen to the Rick and Rollo show, I'd say, if he knew that we were talking about trains regularly, which we do.
Well, he must make some money if he can travel and do all of that. People find that interesting. Yeah.
I'm watching Spanion, right? This 6 foot three, shaved head with covered in tattoos all over his everywhere. He's now got millions of subscribers. Well, it's all he does is travel the world. He bought a Rolex today just to show off.
But what makes Spanion so interesting from the next TikTok or YouTube? No, but what is
because his personality?
All right, he's good. He's good. Can you expand on he's good? Is he good looking? Is he doing an OnlyFans thing where he's got guns the size of and the women?
Yeah, he's on the get for sure, and he's 6 foot three, and he was in jail for 15.
And he's got
years,
personality. He's been in jail, so he's got that. So he's got the bad boy vibe going.
He's the bad guy. Oh yeah. When he turns up, we'll talk about Spanion actually. Move on from trains. He is an icon now. When he turned up in that bad area of Brisbane, as my father said.
Oh, so he's an Australian.
He got mobbed. The cops had to get called. Every feral kid with a rat's tail and bad boy from every
knew who he was.
He had spaniel
mania like Beatle mania back in the 60s with our mothers.
It's like I'm not joking. Look up Spaniel gets the cops called on YouTube. The police
at the I believe you.
Yeah. It was a riot, and everywhere you looked were tattoos, little kids everywhere.
So he's covered in tattoos.
Yeah. He looks
like does he have them on his face?
Well, he does. He's got something stupid written along his hairline. I don't know what he's got done that for. But he's also got Jesus as King tattooed on the back of his head, which I thought was pretty commendable.
Oh, he must be a friend of Russell Brand or something, is he?
I trust Spaniard.
Remember him? Remember
him? 6 million and counting. How many has he still got? 6 million subscribers?
I think he went to Rumble because his opinions were too. Well, he can't question vaccines and like. That's interesting. Got kicked off the which made me laugh. This Stephen Colbert, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he.
I don't lie.
He did this thing called the vaccine where he was dancing around with his men in syringes.
It was terrible.
It was cringy. It was terrible. It is like you look back on it now and you go, what a slave to Pfizer and Moderna and
the word is see you next Tuesday.
AstraZeneca and Johnson and Johnson. Now, speaking of Johnson and Johnson, we've heard about Mark Latham's wife, which is Judith Lacey, who fucked me over.
Is it Judith? No.
Lacey.
I thought it was Margaret.
Fuck. I'll look her up. Anyway, this fucking cunt has not been lenient to me.
Mark Latham was this. I think he was Prime Minister for a while, wasn't he?
No, he wanted to be Prime Minister. He fucked up. He did the idiotic thing. He did the standover thing with John Howard and pissed it away.
Briskly.
Yeah. No. Yeah, but they got the photo in the Daily Telegraph or the Sydney Morning Herald or something with him lording, doing a bully thing on him. And immediately lost in the election. It was just idiot.
And he bashed a taxi driver as well.
Every time he does something wrong, he says, I've got pancreatitis or something. This crazy disease. I don't even know what pancreatitis is, but Mark Latham.
Inflamed pancreas.
Yeah. So, and that makes him act like a crazy bastard. He is a tall, very intimidating man. If you're in front of John Howard,
onto the sleaze, which sells papers. This is another story that's all over the media. Mark Latham's girlfriend has accused him of abuse, and that she was forced to have sex with him in his office regularly, and they were in switch, and that she was forced to have they were obviously swingers. Now I'll just say that I noticed. She's probably in the 30s, I'd say. She's got she's an OnlyFans model. Work that one out.
Is she? OnlyFans. All right. I'm going to look this up.
Have you ever looked at OnlyFans? This is the thing.
It's not something that does it for me, but I know that you can make good money being an OnlyFan. Okay, so huge Mark. We're talking serious dollars. Like, school teachers, good-looking school teachers and that. I mean, they can make, what, $30,000 a year as a school teacher on OnlyFans? They can make $30,000 a month.
South Park had a couple.
Yeah, that's the line. Yeah. You knew where I nicked that from. Well done. But that's true. What are we looking up here? Mark Latham
sex scandal.
All right, Mark Latham.
Because just remember, the media always likes to have a sex scandal when they don't want you to look at what's going on in about above your head or around your body, or
I just want to know who the Rick and Rollo
Rick and Rollo.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day,
and now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Rick and Rollo, episode number 39 on the 19th of July, 2025. And you're back to the guests. Sorry, back to the hosts, Rollo.
Are you being Clive Robinson?
I'm being a continuity announcer.
That's hilarious. Okay, former federal Labor leader Mark Latham has been embroiled in a scandal this week with allegations of inappropriate behaviour while sitting in the parliamentary chambers. Once prime ministerial hopeful, as he faced John Howard in the 2004 election, serving the infamous stern handshake, which is what I was talking about.
Yep.
Now state MP is no stranger to controversy. Now he's so they're going on about, oh, there's that. Look at that. I remember that well. That's the most idiotic thing Latham ever did. So what are the allegations? The media storm started on Tuesday following reports Latham's former partner, Natalie Matthews, was seeking an apprehended violence order in Sydney local court. She claims she was a victim of sustained abuse, forced to perform degrading sexual acts that Latham drove her car at her. The 64-year-old denied the allegations via X, stating that he had scores of documents, in quotes, that were used to defend himself against the claim.
And he said, I have a wonderful sex life. He had to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, he's a swinger. That's what he's up to.
It followed a frenzy of leaks, including sexting, which is texting, I guess, exchanges of prayer while Latham was sitting in the parliamentary chamber. God damn.
They all be doing
so that. I didn't even know he was in the One Nation party.
That's right. So he's joined the One Nation. So this is another smear on anyone that's concerned about mass immigration, blah, 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 blah. Everything that normal people agree with, One Nation represent. They've got an orange-headed imbecile representing them. Way before Trump came out, they had Pauline Hanson in the early 90s, mid-90s. She came out of nowhere, fish and chip owner, talks like a dummy. But she said the things that you and I kind of agree with. So it makes when we say it.
Woman isn't Tanya Plibersek, is it?
No, Tanya is who will be the Prime Minister, guaranteed.
Mark Latham's former federal colleague, Tanya Plibersek. I'm indifferent to him. I hate his ex-wife.
Yes, it's Margaret. Megan. That's what
it is. Let's look her up. Let's look her up. I'm not afraid of her one bit.
Megan,
I don't care. All the power. There we go. Mark Latham's
wife, Megan.
No, I'm typing it in now. Yeah, that's right. And how dare you judge me? Her name is.
You performed admirably in the court dressed up as the Joker. Well, we had the Joker suit.
Yeah.
And she was quite entertained by you, I do believe.
Well,
we're going back to COVID.
She laughed a little. Yeah,
it's Megan Latham.
She's actually a party girl. I've got lots of pictures of her where she's partying around. Her name is. Here we are. Megan. I found her. Her name is
Megan.
Here's the pretty one. ALP first lady to the bench. Look, that's when they're way younger, aren't they? That's definitely her. Her name is. I'm just trying to find a fucking name.
I'm telling you, Rollo, it's Megan Latham. Now, Megan Lacey, or whatever she's. Yeah. And she's a judge. Look up ex-wife of Mark Latham. Just simple as that. Or do you want me to do it? I'm not.
Yeah, you do it. Ex-wife.
Mark Latham's ex-wife, judge. Just put that into Google.
Latham, judge. Sorry, I'm just having a brain fart. Okay. Okay. So you'd think her name would come straight up, wouldn't you?
She's probably had her name removed off the internet, like Black Cube can get you. That's what Black Cube do. Phone number, 1515, that's ISIS.
Yeah.
666, something or other. Be told.
Yeah, I know her last name is definitely Lacey. It's all this new Janine Lacey. Megan. Janine Lacey, her name is.
No.
It says, Mr. Lathan separated from his second wife, Janine Lacey. It has to be her. Let's just type this in, Janine Lacey, Newcastle. I know her last name's Lacey.
Sorry, I just dropped out.
No, you're right.
It's definitely, you told me it was Megan.
No, I'm still trying to.
This is really.
It's Janine Lacey. I can see the face.
How come you used to call it Megan all the time?
Oh, maybe I got a name wrong. Maybe I was so upset with the miscarriage of. Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it.
Do you want to hear a funny story? I went to get some beers at the I tell you, when it comes to jealousy or whatever, I just went to get a six
You're
pack.
Right. It's Janine.
It is. Yep. Janine Lacey and that woman. I don't like that. I don't like being talked down to by anyone.
Guess what they do? They sit themselves up high.
Yeah. And you have to, everyone in the court forced to wear face masks. Who was the only one that didn't have to?
Roller.
Fucking Janine fucking Lacey.
Did you?
And I was there. Huh?
Did you have to wear one?
No, because I went to the goddamn, Justice of the Peace and got a goddamn exemption. And it cost me $2,200, and that would mean nothing to Janine. I've got a fucking silver spoon up my fucking ass, Lacey.
Yeah, I like it.
You know what I mean?
No one should forget the tyranny that Australia went through, and you were one of the top activists out there. I like to say that.
Well, I like to think that I hated all those lockdowns and that fucking disgrace.
They wouldn't let me go into the court.
Did Janine Lacey ask Karen Borg from Johnson & Johnson come up to the stand, who was accusing me of harassment? I just phoned the COVID hotline. We were asked to do.
Yeah,
we were asked to. So wrong. It did not say that you cannot call the COVID hotline more than once.
No, true.
It was begging you to call the COVID hotline during that period.
Yep.
And you while it was like, you know, Woolworths was saying COVID safe and
268 times or something or other that you called the COVID hotline. It was. It was part of a court the charges, I do believe.
Of harassment of Karen Borg. Karen Borg, who now we know was a part of Johnson & Johnson, is getting rid of what's it called? Where you sterility, making people sterile.
They were also making babies get asthma and cancer because they had
and all that. Janine Lacey took Karen Borg's side. Sisters unite. Yeah, fuck yeah. See, I am still fucking dirty on those fucking cunts. I've never had a problem with the cops, really, before that. I hate the cops. The only good cops are fucking dead cops. And I fucking mean that. I fucking hate the cops so badly.
digitally penetrated by the men in blue, Rollo.
Yep.
Digitally penetrated by the men.
Raped. I've been raped. So
anyway,
Rollo,
you've got to listen to Rick.
Cheer me up, please.
You've got to listen to that. I think it was on Fakeologist or something. I was talking about this show, and I've told you you must listen to it. These two guys are sticking it right up, metaphorically, the Australian COVID people, and they call it's called Mondays at. What's it called? Monday. Every Monday, these guys go. They've got a podcast, and they are really naming names. They really do name names. And one of them bumped into. What's that evil fucking thing? Chant, Kerry Chant. And he said he was walking down the road. He was at their outside Parliament House, and he said he couldn't believe it. She was walking towards him. And he was saying, it looks like a bloke. That's what he said the same thing.
Well,
and he turned around, and she walked past, and he turned around and said, hey, as she passed him, he turned around and he said, hey, what did I say her name was?
Kerry Chant.
He goes, hey, Kerry, your time's up. And she said, what do you mean? He goes, your time is up, right to her face. And she turned around and kept walking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice.
This is only recently he did this. Good, fantastic. And he's from Boston, this guy.
I know the guy you're talking about, that friendly Geordies guy.
No. It's a show called Mondays at...
Okay.
Oh, you've got to listen to it.
Harry Chan. He, she, he, him, her, it, whatever pronouns, is... I guarantee you never took the jab. Same with Gladys Berejiklian and Janine.
Mondays at Maggie's. Sorry, Rollo. It's called Mondays at Maggie's podcast.
All right, let's promote that on Rick and Rollo. And
a guy called Franco Tedesco. He's got the kind of. He's got that tough.
He sounds like a politician from the '70s, doesn't he? Franco Tedesco, doesn't he?
He's Italian from Wollongong, apparently, and he's living in Gosford now. And they go down every Monday to Parliament House. He said he got involved with Bosie. Which I said you'd stay.
There's a name. Is a politician called Tedeschi? Isn't there? Isn't there a Tedeschi?
There might be. This is Frankie. But Franco Tedesco.
Well, good on you, Franco Tedesco.
It's a really good show. Okay. I love it.
All right. Let me write that.
They name all of the naughty little men in politics that are. Definitely up to no good with young children. He actually names them on these shows. Good. Yeah, he's full on.
The kitty
fiddlers. Deleted off the air.
Oh, look. The only kitty fiddlers that I've.
Well, dog. What about dog?
They try and call Alan Jones. Alan Jones was never a kitty fiddler, was he? He just liked young blokes, didn't he? So there was nothing wrong with Alan.
He's not a pedophile.
If you're over 18, you're a man. Yeah, exactly. You've got no business working at TUE.
Back in the day, the teachers that were in these private schools, and I'm talking about Knox College and all these other ones, I think he might have taught there. Mm. And rugby union's full of poofs. I'm going to have to. You might think they're the toughest guys on the planet, but there's always a link with a lot of, having showers after the game or any sport. To me, I always.
Yeah, my brother went to Sydney Uni and he went to St. Paul's College and there was a lot of hazing going on and pooftery there was gayness on there, but it was par for the course, apparently, he said.
This was normal back in the day at these public schools, I call them, or private schools, where they had
the masters
had their room and the boys that were all in the you know,
in England, in England they call them public schools, but it's opposite here in Australia.
Yeah,
I know,
and
it's
full of poofs. I'm going to have to say that again. Full of poofs. Always have been. Always probably will be. I'm glad I was not.
Why do you think they like
rich enough to send me to one of those
caning young boys? Six of the best trousers down. Or
when I was at school, I got it a couple of times, but it was bad. But never six. I got two or three. I think six. Yeah. Would you be bleeding
and paddling? Paddling in America, where you have
strapped on the hand. My school that I went to, apparently in the 50s, if you were bad, you were brought up on stage in front of the whole school and caned with your pants down in front of the whole
school. That's right. Mr. Brown's school, Tom Brown's school days. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And remember that actor Jimmy, what was his name? Jimmy with a big, he was an RAF. He was a comedian. He got done for that. The whole of those, the British public school thing. And he used to have a song, he had a show called Wacko. And he played the character of the school principal that liked caning his students. And it was a British comedy. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. British comedy. Jimmy someone or other. He was a British comedian that was from public schools in England.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't that surprise me? Here we go. Let's have a look. So Jimmy. So what was it? Jimmy.
Comedian, ex-RAF, a British comedian. Just put ex-RAF, Jimmy.
Ex-RAF.
And he had a big moustache. You know, one of those, definitely up to no good. Something about people with big moustaches too. Jimmy.
Jimmy
Tarbuck's funny. He's good.
Jimmy Edwards?
Yes. Got it.
Okay, so Jimmy Edwards. Yeah, there's the mustache. There we go. English comedy writer, actor on stage, radio, television, film, known for his roles as Pa Glum in Take It From Here, was the headmaster, Professor James in Edwards in Wacko. You're perfectly correct. Yeah. And, so let's have a look at his personal life here. His best friend, Eric Sykes. I liked Eric Sykes. Yeah, and they must have been comedians together. And they went, oh, my God. Yeah, obviously. Well, they were part of the old brigade, weren't they, these guys? Oh, I'm going to read that. Are you still there, friendo? Ooh. Have a look. There you are. Hey, Rick, you're back.
As soon as we talk about controversial subjects, I get
excited. Yeah, I know. That was hilarious. I went back to that. I went to, and there's like three yellow as a fucking exclamation marks. Next year, yeah. I think that might be a Discord thing.
That could be. Well, we're talking about controversial stuff here.
Yeah, I read through his personal life. I didn't like that. Look, they what did they call it back in the South Park guys made it easy to digest. They call it the amazing fruity amazing club or something, where they just went around fucking little children, and that's what they did. I mean, that's what a lot of what do they call them back in the settlers back in the day? You know, they claim to be Rick and Roller. Rick and Roller.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Just before here we are. We're going to bring the mood up. Saturday, the 19th of July, 2025, Rick and Roller, 39. I've, like, Velocette, if you're out there listening, you are, like, you, Rick, and you, Velocette, more than welcome. My new pad is almost set up. And I've got, I will put onto Rollo's balcony what my man pad looks like and how my new place looks pretty damn schmick.
Have you got a new TV, Rollo?
Yes, I do. I do. Oh, get this. Here's a funny story. The NBN guys, right? They're putting the NBN into my place with this and what do they do to my next door neighbor's place today?
They
chop right through their existing copper.
Oh.
So who's the bad guy? Is it the NBN guys? I know.
So the dude was upset.
He's really? This big Fijian good dude going, oh, the dudes yesterday, they said that because the copper wirings, you know, after a while get so brittle.
And so they were pulling the neighbors, Rollo?
No. It was the dude who, the NBN guy. It was a big Fijian guy who was, he was in there going, oh, the guys did some damage. So they lost all their communications.
Oh no!
Like, cause our place never had it, or if it did, it wasn't used long ago. You know how long? Some people they just live off their mobile phones. They live off Wi-Fi.
I
don't want. I don't want to live that way. I want to live where I've got a high speed broadband into my house. And so that means when I've got my big flat screen TV, I can watch anything when I want to watch it at any time without any.
Have you got a new TV?
Yeah, it's good enough.
What do you mean good
it's
enough?
It's new enough.
Is it smart?
It's got the I've got the Google. What's that Google dongle. Thing that you throw into it?
Yeah, the dongle.
A Google
dongle.
What's it called?
Google Play.
I've got the Google Chrome Pass, it's called. Yeah.
Okay, so you can do that. Okay.
And it slips straight into it, and it basically as good as your. I'm not buying a brand new TV if I don't need to. I was given it, this old one.
How old
and, is it? And how old's the TV that I've been given? It's my mum's old one.
Oh, that's really old.
Nine or 10 years old. Yeah, because mum died 9 years ago. Yeah. 8 years ago. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So you've just got that the Google thing you plug into the side of it and you can
get exactly. And yeah, exactly. You get it and you get it all and it's all just as good as the new tellies.
Honestly, you can get a really cheap TV, Rollo, and I recommend them because you get for you, especially if it's got YouTube and all that already on it.
I don't care how cheap or how good the TV. It depends on what the fuck is on it. You know what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at fucking reality TV or anything. Oh, I want to watch something. I cut
the aerial. With a whippersnipper onto my house, so I can't get that free-to-air TV. And can I just tell you, the best thing I ever did was cutting that aerial because I would rather watch YouTube. And I was talking to the NRMA.
A lot of people would, yeah.
Yeah, because you can just, you put on Spanian. One of my sons said, Dad, you should watch Spanian because they were watching him all the time. I started watching because he does these travel logs. I love his.
That's right. You were saying before, yeah. Spania goes all around the place. Yeah.
Really, really interesting. But I mean, then I've got, you've got South Park shorts come up all the time. You just sit there with YouTube on.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. Now, before, while we're talking about smart TVs.
Before we get to. Man, I know you want to go to Connie Brett.
I've been going on about Severance as being a good show. Well, yeah. I'm not the only person that says that because they've got 27 nominations. They're actually leading the Emmys at the moment for every possible Emmy.
Well, I apologize that I haven't watched Severance, but I will get to Severance because I will be moving and I will be on my own, on my pap alone. You know what that means. That means I want you and Velocet Come and visit my pad. Yeah, Joel. Come and visit my I'm waiting for Joel to come in with a sound effect. And like
they
he did.
Probably work.
Did he do it last week? Oh, no. What did we do? Like, we went out with Ride On. Did we Ride On last week? We're doing the Aussie now, thing last week, weren't we?
Can I just suggest that the after show was better than the first show?
Was it?
Yeah.
I think I was on the vodka and Red Bull in the after show.
Well, it sounded good. Well, I don't know
I've been banned from the vodka and Red Bull tonight.
Funny that.
I know. I was a bit cheeky last week. I did watch a few of those acts. I thought the Aussie, again, being strapped down, but his voice being as strong as ever. And what a way to go out.
Well, I can't wait to watch the actual professional release back to the beginning production that will come out very shortly, I would say.
Mm.
You'll have to pay to watch it, I'd say, but it should come out in DVD as well.
Or okay.
You can stream it, but...
Don't worry, the money's not going to the wicked Sharon.
Yeah,
it's going to the Ozempic. Who produces Ozempic? I think it's Pfizer. So the money's all going to Pfizer.
Now, apparently it's Pfizer's Birmingham Children's Hospital. The Parkinson's.
This Ozzy Osbourne show is brought to you by Pfizer and Ozempic. If you want to lose weight and look like a living dead, that's what you can do. You just watch. What's it called, Rick? You've got Ozzy on the line here, mate.
You actually sound slightly like him. I think that you did more damage to yourself.
Rollo's in the room here with me, but he's allowed me onto the microphone. And, so what did you want to ask me, Rick? Rollo's a good friend of mine. And
you were actually a good friend of Ozzy's.
I just got on my plane and landed here in Newcastle Airport, and
I can't do the Birmingham accent, but if you listen
Rollo, I fucked Rollo's mum, but don't tell him because I met her in Birmingham in 1959 when I was 19 years old.
Oh, and I cannot do a Birmingham accent.
You gotta understand. Yeah, Maureen. I fuck Maureen. Don't tell Michael because they were going out together at that time. But there you go. How much fun is that?
It's not bad. Just a little bit. I can't do the Birmingham accent at the moment.
Yeah.
Rob Halford.
Thanks for talking to you. I'll put you back on to Rollo, okay?
Oh. Thank you, Ozzy.
Thanks, Ozzy. He's just sitting over there. I just put the mic headset on him.
Is he shaking and nodding his head?
No, he's just giving me the devil's horns on his hands. Hey, what's your favorite song, Ozzy? Iron Man? Are you kidding? Yeah, I like it too. He wants to go out with Iron Man. No. He says he can't think it like he used to. The darling, I am mine.
As a Black Sabbath tragic, their best in Birmingham. Birmingham 1996. They did it was called under a full moon in Birmingham, and they reformed.
Yeah,
and that was their bit. They did this live concert that was so good. And some of this, the music of it is just unbelievable. And
how long ago?
That was 96 or something.
Oh, 96. So they were still at their
their best.
Did they have the original lineup and everything?
Totally original lineup.
Wow.
And it was absolutely fantastic. And everything that it was recorded properly is way better. To see that sad ending of their Back to the Beginning with, you know, they came out and
at least you go at some stage. I mean, there are some bands that, like, fucking hell, there's not an original member in the band, or if there is one, what was that where we went and was, and Dragon, was it? We was together. And the only original member was a bass player or something. Remember Dragon? When, you know, some bands are like that.
Dragon's still got Mark Hunter as, oh no, sorry, Todd Hunter's still part of it. And he's a,
yeah, that's guy. It. But that's the point I'm making. Where, you know, there are some bands that they don't even have, it's an original
member.
So left. How are you? Yeah, the band, you know.
Ex member that was sacked in 1960 something or other.
Yeah,
he comes back and he goes out and he puts a tour. This is going on all over the place. There's a band called
it's because they don't want to retire, do they? It's like at AC/DC, people are saying you should retire. I go, no, if they don't want to retire.
I think they should retire. I think Angus looks ridiculous. He's a little old man, and he's literally a little old man because he's about 5'2".
Well, he looks like a little Santa Claus because his hair's got so white and puffy now.
Yeah. What's left of it?
And have they welcomed Phil, your mate over there, Phil Rudd, back in?
Is he going to be drumming? I hope he is.
Me too, with Amy leading. Yeah, like, seriously, I will go and watch that with you. Well, I think it's too late,
Rollo. I think it's sold out. I think they've sold out every ticket.
You got to be kidding. There's no way they could. They're only playing stadiums, aren't they?
Yeah, but they've got, apparently they've got room to add more concerts to it, and they're going, this is November, December this year. Metallica's playing in Sydney in November. AC/DC also in November.
That's the one I want to watch. I want to, with you and Velocet, I want to be sitting with you and Velocet and watching Amy and the Snippers. No, I'll pay you, moron.
Rollo,
I've got a little bit of money.
The yellow Celica story?
Yeah. You know where that is? You know where
is that your,
is? Is it Tari? Yes, my brother's place under a tarp.
Do you know what we should do?
Hey, Rick.
Do you know how much that car would be worth? That car will be worth probably $30,000.
All right. You know what we're going to do one night? We could do a mission, you know?
And steal the car.
Steal it. Why not? It's mine. It's on his property. Let's go and get it. All right, let's make a plan.
Taking your battery because the battery will be flat by now.
We've got to work a better plan.
Roll it. We'll talk about the new Superman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Is apparently quite good. Now, what I'm picking up on though is that the critics of it, and it's actually, I think it got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's doing 86.
They've made Superman into is David Corin Sweat or whatever his name is. He's a nobody, which is what you want your Superman to be. Do you remember Richard Donner, when he was given the keys to the Superman
franchise,
they wanted, and you know, Warner Brothers wanted fucking Robert Redford
to play Superman.
Richard Donner said, "No, it's got to be a no one. It has to be a no one," and he was right. So he got Chris Reeves. All right, he had Marlon Brando and playing his father. Everyone who
Jor-El,
yeah, plays Jor-El, and you have, playing Lex Luthor, you have Gene Hackman, the two of the most famous. That's how you sell Superman. Yeah.
And it was a good look.
And you had Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather.
The Godfather.
You have him write the script. So you fucking, you're on a winner. And you have John Williams composed a score that goes,
the same.
Yeah.
John Williams, every single theme song sounds identical to each other.
How could you lose? And you have the Sorkind brothers who sack him off the second one. The second one would have been even better than the first one, which wasn't bad. But
who did they
only because of the best thing. They sacked Richard Donner, the director, because they made too much money and they didn't want Marlon Brando in the second one. And they got Terrence Stamp, who played General Zod so beautifully.
Yep.
Like Terrence Stamp, mother.
Do you think Richard Donner directed the 2001, the epic in 2001 called The Twin Towers? I think he might have had something to do with that as well, possibly. That movie, The Twin Towers, it was a movie about these two aluminium coned planes that go into the side.
I think you might be thinking of you're thinking of the guy that did the Vietnam
Stanley Kubrick. War movie. Stanley Kubrick.
No, the Vietnam War movie. Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. I'm talking about the film that you saw on the. It looks Richard Donner could have easily been something to do with it.
Well, he certainly used. I mean, not Gotham City. That's fucking Batman. What's Megalopolis? What the fuck's Superman's town? Metropolis? It's Metropolis. Anyway. It's Metropolis. Yeah,
and it's just like
we've all been imbibing just a little too much. I'm still only on the light stuff.
I'm feeding my cat. I'm feeding my pussy right now. More food. She gets.
You know how many? Those beers that you had the other week. They were called the Goat, the greatest of all time beers. Oh, they're really yummy.
Yeah, not bad.
And the other ones that, Christy, what were those ones that you were drinking last night? Bent Spokes. Oh my God. They're very alcoholic beers, but they are so super yummy. But when you come to my place.
I support beer drinking. I think beer is the greatest.
I support cocaine. I support, and most importantly, vodka and Red Bull. I left the Dan Murphy's the other night and these three youngsters walked past me and I looked at the first youngster's hand and he had a full liter bottle of Smirnoff in his hand and in his other hand, a six pack of Red Bull. And then I looked at his friend, a girl, same. And then I looked at their other. Rick, I wanted to turn around so hard. Yeah, tap them on the shoulder and say, whatever party you're going to, can I come with you guys? That's all I was going in was a case of Bogues Premium. But you know, an interview the other night with David Bowie. And David Bowie, when he gave up all the drugs and alcohol, and he was very kind when the interviewer said, "What would you ever, you know, just have a glass of wine or something?"
He said, I'll turn back into the bad guy.
You remember what he said, don't you?
I've seen the interview.
All those years of him as.
You're
Rick and
listening to 39 Rick and Roll.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Now we're listening to
Rick and Rollo episode number 39 on the wonderful 19th of July 2025. Back to the hosts, Rick and Rollo.
It's late night here. It's late night here. It's Saturday, yes, the 19th.
Remember the love? Who was remember the love god? That terrible. They had that show back in the 70s.
And
you could ring up. It was on. It was Today FM, and they called him the Love God. And he was some, and he was trying to make himself out to be this good looking god. And apparently, he's really ugly.
Richard.
What was his name? Do you remember the love god? And so you could ring up and you could do a request for, you know, it was like, say you could put a love song for Christy.
What could you request? What sort of love song?
This is how we do it. He goes, I've just had a song from a suggestion from Rollo, and he wants to send this wonderful song to his wonderful ex-partner, and he wants to get back.
Okay. What would he send? What would he send to her? This, he sounds awfully gauche, this Rollo fellow. What would he send? Love Cats or Connie Francis? Maybe Lipstick on My Collar? I don't know. He sounds awfully, awfully gauche. Now, Richard, we seem to have lost into the, yes, time has taken him. I think he's gone down the pathway, the Discord pathway. Yes,
Ken, why would I be cut off when I'm talking about the love FM the, radio?
Yes. Hello, Rollo, he would have requested to his former ex partner Connie Francis's Lipstick on Your Collar.
So Connie Francis died this week. She was an iconic American singer from the '50s and sixties, and one of her biggest hits was Lipstick on Your Collar. And now, you and I both remember the fantastic TV show. Am I still on?
G'day, Rick, mate. I went to the bathroom. I think we just both got the Rick and Rollo both got hijacked.
The love god.
Sorry. It's
so wonderful to hear this request.
Oh, okay,
Rollo,
yeah.
A man from Newcastle. Rollo from Newcastle. He Lots wants to hear a lovely romantic song for his ex-partner. And he tells her he loves her so much. And here's Amy and the Sniffers with Some Mutts. Should be muzzled.
That's how we talk. Yeah. I'm not joking. I'm imitating him perfectly.
Connie Francis did Lipstick on My Collar, on Your Collar or My Collar?
Lipstick on Your Collar.
Yeah, that was a TV show. It was by...
I think she was 86 years of age. Mm.
I swear to God, it killed... It was either Goodies or Doctor Who. I think it was Doctor Who on the BBC.
Lipstick on Your Collar and... all the other ones, like what was his other series of shows? We're talking about the guy that Dennis Potter.
He did that one
singing
with
detective.
The guy that you really like from there with the
singing,
you know, that really short guy Bob that
Hoskins.
You really
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, why have you got a hard on for Bob Hoskins? I think it's because he was in that movie with. Oh, I swear, with Pierce Brosnan.
The Long Good Friday.
It was a really good movie.
What was it called?
Him and Pierce Brosnan got their start together. And they never worked together. You know that? Because the back and forth they did together. Yeah.
But Pierce Brosnan only featured for like 3 seconds in that role. As the,
is that what it was?
IRA hitman. And that was
a good movie.
It was a good movie. And it was Handmade Films, which was George Harrison and his business partner, some big megalomaniac Hollywood guy. And they also, because they made a lot of money out of Life of Brian. Life of Brian
That's right, handmade films.
No one would finance Life of Brian because it was about Christianity, and it kind of was. But they ended up making.
I love that production company. I swear to God, one of my hat with nail films. with nail and eye.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I swear to movie. God, was the film with a Doctor Who and the tall guy. I should remember his name. Oh, it was just one of the best movies I've ever seen where he drinks lighter fluid.
Richard E. Grant.
He's
from an elite family. If you look into Richard E. Grant,
yes, he is
from an extraordinarily wealthy family.
Yeah.
And he's still around. Like he'll always pop up, and he's at the moment playing. Oh, he was in the Avengers spinoff.
He's awesome. He played that. He played that shitty part in that last Star Wars.
Yeah.
And he sold his soul a little bit. Hey, look, remember Richard Griffiths? You know that big fat guy. You know, pie in the sky guy. He was in with Nail and I. Yeah,
playing an old pup.
And that's what made With Nail and I so unique. Is that there was this hint of
pedophilia?
Yeah, not pedophilia. It was just you have to watch it to understand how awesome it was. And that was, again, what was the name of the production company?
Handmade Films.
So
George Harrison and the guy that had the money, or George Harrison.
Right, he produced with Nail. They became
the producers,
Everything
that Handmade Films did was fantastic. George Harrison got stabbed in Hawaii. They tried to take him out much earlier.
Yeah. George Harrison wasn't short of a quid. So, you know. No. If you've got a producer, you got George Harrison on board. You're not sure.
But it was his business partner that was the guy that had the nouse.
And George trusted him. So there you go. I don't want to hear stories like that. To get some of the creative genius from Handmade Films, I remember the guy that directed With Nail and I.
Who was that?
I don't know his name, but I saw an interview with him where he said, "I didn't really know how to direct anything."
I get cut off. I'll just have a go. With Nail and I, are you still? Yeah. Can you hear me, Roller?
I'll do it.
And I, the movie. Boom. Here we go.
Yeah.
I get cut off all the time. Very strange. Okay. With Nail and I is a 1987 British black comedy film written and directed by Bruce Robinson.
Yep.
Bruce Robinson written.
I saw the interview with. And it was classic where he said, look,
his life in London in the late 60s. The plot follows two unemployed actors, With Nail and I, who share the flat in Camden Town in 1969. Hey, speaking of interesting things, Rollo, just change the subject.
Hold that thought. That is With Nail and I. Like, honestly, I've got that movie solid in my head. It is
a great movie.
So you remember what you just said? So that Bruce guy, it's basically his life. So Bruce Robinson somehow him and Richard E. Grant and the Doctor Who guy, what was his name? The one that only played the American once hit who's that pretty Doctor Who that only played Doctor Who once, you know, with the curly hair in Canada? Yeah. Hugh McGann? No, it wasn't. Was it Hugh McGann?
I'll tell you right now.
No, the with the
It was the cast was Bruce Robinson. It was Paul McGann.
Paul McGann. Yeah. Who's Hugh McGann? Is there a Hugh? It was Paul McGann. My wife is trying to produce. Ex-wife.
Paul McGann.
Paul McGann. Now Paul McGann, him and Richard E. Grant live in this little house together. It is, and they are. They want to be actors. And it's in this beautiful, you know, where you open the door and all you see is vistas. You know, it's a tiny little town, but they have these, what is it? All they want to be is famous. And yeah, and
I'm going to have to watch that movie, Rollo. I'm going to have to watch it again.
Because they're both chronic alcoholics.
Yeah.
And but they're both they could read a script and you know, like Nigel Hawthorne or something. You can get up on stage and be drunk. Like there are people like Richard Harris or Peter O'Toole. They could be drunk as Robert Shaw. Yeah, and you've got the whole script in your head because that's a skill that you have. Yeah.
Yeah, so it must have been a thing that private school kids or anyone that went to the Royal Shakespeare Company and all that, they got trained into this ability to memorize a script and become that character as well.
Absolutely. So you can get up on stage. I've read the thinnest of thinnest novels, and I couldn't read it back to you, and never alone read a bloody Shakespeare play, and
I'm no Shakespeare fan.
Even that's not even proper. I would call proper English. At the end of the day, it's just amazing what these people can do. What do they call them? Thespians.
Thespians.
Well, what happened with Neil and I is that they grew apart, and that's the beauty of that whole thing. Could be done as a stage play, but it was done beautifully as a movie by Robinson.
Look, anyone that's seen it goes on about it. You know what I mean? It's one of those films that came out in the late 80s.
Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, and it is a positive. You know, you don't want to do spoilers, but how do you spoil that with Neil and I? It's impossible to spoil. It is just.
I think so.
Richard
E. Grant is one of those actors that just keeps popping up again and again. Like they brought him into the Spice Girls movie, the movie that's about the Spice Girls.
Okay.
He plays the manager of the Spice Girls. So he's one of those guys. But he grew up, I think, in Africa. He grew up in Africa.
Why not?
In a very rich family, very well-to-do family.
Yeah.
And he talks about
he got to do in life what he wanted to do was become a really famous and he's famous, but he's not. I'll interrupt you here.
Is the guy playing Superman? Because this is a thing I've just picked up on recently.
David Corenswet.
Okay,
is he
English? Really, not is he American or English? Because I noticed that the movie.
You really want me to look that up? I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
All right.
I think might be because you've got actors like the guy that played Batman, one of my favorite actors, all playing Americans. The guy that plays
Batman. Are you talking about the Dark Knight? Batman.
The Dark Knight. He's almost Cockney, but he's English. He's an English actor.
Yeah, that's right.
They seem to employ, like, the leads, at the moment, Spider-Man, the guy that plays Spider, the kid, really, that plays Spider-Man.
Here we go. The question you asked was David Conrad. David Packard Corin Sweat is an American actor. After graduating from Juilliard in 2016,
You just said it, Juilliard. Yeah. Juilliard actors are all highly trained, and they do basically, they channel their roles and they kind of bring in another personality into their role. So Juilliard had, what's that rap star, not Kanye West, but the guy that pretended to die. And I'm telling you, is not dead.
Yeah, right.
Kids think is a real rap hero. What's his name? Shaved head, thug life on his stomach.
All right.
He was actually a Juilliard trained, highly skilled actor playing the role of a rap star. What's his name? Thug Life. Anyway, everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Thug Life.
The rap artist that got shot and...
I'm looking it up as we are now. So the term Thug Life, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Good song.
Juilliard. Hold on. But we want the actor's name, right? Actor's name.
Well, he's a rap star. And what's his name? I keep saying Kanye West, but it's not.
I don't even know who Kanye West is.
Well, I could talk all about him as well. He's another iconic hero that you've been given. Well, not.
Who am I hearing?
Character.
How about we just go Juilliard?
Juilliard. Look up. The best actors from Juilliard.
Juilliard actors. Laura Linney, Viola Davis, Jessica Chastain, Adam Driver. Christine.
There's a big one.
Adam Driver was the big nose. They wanted, now, again, the new Harry Potter, they wanted him to play Snape. But they picked the black guy for some reason. Why would you do that? Like, if the new, what's it called? Is it Universal Studios or Warner Brothers?
I was talking about Tupac Shakur.
Tupac, is he on this list? Yes, he was.
He was. So these are really highly trained actors, and they don't just become, so when they, the Juilliard method,
You're basically your
channel, and you become that person, and actually invite another spirit into your head.
Yeah, what's that called? That's called
method acting.
Yeah. And all these, they do seem like method. I know a few of them. We'll go. So Adam Driver, then Oscar Isaac again. He was a Star Wars fellow. Robin Williams. I didn't know Robin Williams, I always thought was just a comedian that just came from the street. No, he's Juilliard.
Juilliard, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. Anthony Mackie, who played the black superhero.
I just went on about that film. He plays the latest Captain America.
Yeah, that's right. That's him.
Yep.
Is absolutely Christopher Reeve. He was Juilliard?
Yes, Juilliard. Yep.
Yeah. How about that? It's amazing.
And we're talking about, isn't it amazing? We're just talking about Superman.
Kelsey Grammer with that awesome voice, Kelsey Grammer. I mean, I like Kelsey Grammer.
Is he still alive?
I think so.
Yeah. So he was in
Rick and Rollo. You're listening to Juilliard.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. At truthmeets.com, click on the donate link.
listening to Rick and Rollo again on the 19th of July, 2025. And we're on episode number 39 of Rick and Rollo. So back to the hosts, yes. The wonderful Rollo and Rick.
Rollo's still gone to the bathroom. But we are talking about Juilliard. And I am actually the president, the CEO Juilliard. Of Juilliard. And
do you want me to play a romantic song? Do you have a romantic?
Please do not talk over me, my friend. Please do not talk over me, my friend, because I am the CEO of Juilliard, and I will have you cancelled. And if you want to be cancelled, I will cancel you.
I am the love god, and I'm going to play romantic songs for you. I can help your relationships, whoever you are. I can help you get back with your relationship if you want a romantic song. Some nuts can be muzzle.
Hold on, I think we got someone from Juilliard took us over there. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I got possessed.
Yeah, we all got possessed.
All right. So Richard is right. And who are you talking about? So go through all those Juilliard actors. These are people that have affected
absolutely
people.
Absolutely not a problem. Now, where was I? Where I was? I got to Christopher Reeve and Kelsey Grammer. That's right. So yep. We'll move on. Kevin Spacey, of all people. He can't get a gig anymore.
Oh, yes. I bet you he does. You know, he was hanging out with Ghislaine Maxwell
Robert
Maxwell's daughter. Yeah, Robert Maxwell's daughter. Mm. And so they were off their heads at one of Andrew's soirees, and there's a shot of Kevin Spacey and her sitting on the throne, the Queen's throne in Buckingham Palace. You just can't do things like that unless you're someone special. You just can't get into Buckingham Palace, you know, unless you're Jimmy.
Can I tell you a cheeky little thing I did?
Yeah, that's true. And I tried to do the same thing, and they kicked me out of that place, so big time.
You're talking about the Tower of London. Better than that.
Okay.
The Westminster. It was Westminster Abbey and the coronation chair.
Should be the King of England then, Rollo. If you sat on that chair.
I just jumped over the velvet rope and sat on it. It's like the beef eaters. All right, the beef eaters did ask me to leave.
Yeah, but
whatever they call those guys in there. Yeah. And they just said your ass doesn't belong there.
You haven't been the first one to do it. Technically, if you sat on that chair. Right? You are technically the new King of England. You've done it.
Well, I did it. So there you go. I'm the King of England. Oh, whoop-dee fucking do. I would be the best leader. Okay, let's keep going. Juilliard. Val Kilmer. Old mate.
Was he?
Juilliard.
Boom. See, another one. He played Batman. And then the Saint. So there's another made to be guy.
There you go. So I'm going down the list. Jennifer Carpenter. I don't know who she is. Kevin Klein. Don't know who. Kevin Klein. He sort of rings a bell. His name.
Kevin Klein is Bill Gates's wife. There you go. Boom. There's a big there. The conspiracy theorists, look into this one. Kevin Klein is a spitting image of Melinda Gates these days, not before.
Well, his wife's Phoebe Cates. She's a little cute.
No, Melinda. Phoebe Cates, Bill Gates. It rhymes.
Yeah, well, that's Kevin Klein's wife.
If the polymorphs are listening to the show, and I'm not sure he would be, but he could be.
Yeah.
Phoebe Cates, Bill Gates. and Melinda Gates. Coincidence? Kevin Kline, Melinda Gates, all of a sudden during COVID started resembling Kevin Kline in drag. I'm going to have to say that as a conspiracy theorist. Do you remember that?
I'm just looking. Oh, yeah. Kevin Kline was in that really funny movie where he played Dave, where he was the president. Yeah,
he also played a great CIA hitman. He also played that CIA hitman in the John Cleese comedy.
Otto. Otto, don't call me stupid. Jennifer, the really nice chick with the hot legs.
No, the hot tits.
John Cleese.
Hot tits.
Yeah, John Cleese fell in love with her.
Jamie Lee Curtis. She played Jamie Lee Curtis's brother.
He fell in love with her in real life. Yeah, and she was hot.
What was the movie? It was called A Fish Called Wanda.
That's right. Why did Jamie Lee Curtis always cut her hair short after? She was in that John Carpenter film that I really like, the Halloween. Where's he got to start?
When you see Jamie Lee Curtis with her top off in that
Great tits and great legs.
Well, her breasts are absolutely
Oscar-winning. I would say that new dinosaur movie, Scarlett Johansson. I mean, if she hasn't had the most prettiest face and the prettiest boobies you've ever seen, she now says, "I don't appreciate the male gaze." It's called pulling the ladder up behind you, don't you think?
Scarlett Johansson has taken her clothes off in a number of movies. She's not shy about getting those.
Her acting is not bad either.
I liked her in Adam Driver
She was married to him within that Marriage Story. It was a ripoff of Kramer versus Kramer.
Yep.
I fucking loved that film.
But not a bad movie.
It was pretty much a direct ripoff. It was like we're in love, and then shit starts to go.
It's about the end of a relationship. What's the name of the movie? I can't remember the name.
It's called Marriage Story. Yeah, very simple.
Now, so people go on that movie. I've never seen it myself personally, right? So I'm just doing things with bottles here and nothing rude, but I'm just putting them to a box.
What would be rude that you would be bottles? If you stick them up your ass, you'll have to go to the hospital, and a doctor friend of mine will get it out of you.
Surgically remove it.
What would that be? No, but
honestly, that movie, so even my son that's at university going on about, he reckons that Adam Driver and that and his acting in that film with Scarlett Johansson.
Scar Joe. Yeah, I find her
good looking. I'm sorry.
What was her superhero?
Black Widow.
Black Widow? Yeah.
Yep. Very good looking.
Yeah. What I liked her actually really a lot with Bill Murray. Everyone thought it was creepy.
Oh, yeah. I liked the early one.
What was that called?
It was when they're stuck in Japan.
Yes, that's it. And you're trying to work out what that movie's about. Like,
I liked it.
Yeah.
It was directed by the daughter of the God. What's his name? That did The Godfather.
Yeah. Oh yes,
it was his daughter.
The young Coppola, young
Francis Ford. Sophia Coppola.
Sophia Coppola. Yeah. And
some of the Gnostics, Sophia Coppola.
A lot of people thought it was a little bit like
creepy.
Unlikely as an
ugly old, not ugly, but an old guy in his like.
It certainly wasn't 50s. It wasn't a boring film. It was.
Look, if you've ever been to Japan or any big country, or especially Asian country, you don't go outside. You can live in a whole building for all your life, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think Japan has, you know, mega structures that, you know, there's a bar on level 3 or 33 or whatever it is.
Of course.
And the movie was them, they were stuck in transit, lost in translation. That was the film.
Yeah.
And I think it's a totally realistic movie because if anyone's been to a hotel, it's late at night, you're bored out of your brain and you want to drink and get on it.
Mm-hmm.
Japan would be the place to go because it doesn't shut, you know, in some of the cities there. Mm-hmm. I've never been there, but two of my children have been to Japan once or twice. Their poor, sad, lonely father hasn't ever been to Japan. But I think I should go.
I've never been to Japan. I like.
Rollo, can you pay me and you? Well, let's me and you go to Japan.
I thought we were going to Vietnam, but there you go.
No, I think Japan.
You've already been to. Yeah, you want to go to Japan?
No, that's
Chinese. How do I? Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. I love Japanese food. I love the Japanese people. I love their culture. I'm just like my kids. I love Japan.
And don't they eat sushi? It's like raw fish and dipped in the wasabi and soy sauce.
I love it. And guess what? I love sake. Sake is my favorite alcohol.
I must admit, that's rice wine.
Hot sake.
Have you been to what's that Japanese where you go to a not yamcha. What is it where they cook the food on the hot
and they
griddle
throw it at you.
And they throw it at you. What's that called again? Chrissy, what's it called when they cook on the hot thing and they throw the food at you?
And you gotta catch the eggs.
Huh?
No, that's here. It's big over
Chrissy,
here.
Chrissy says it's called teppanyaki. Is that right?
Yep. Teppanyaki.
Yeah, where they chop up food and it's not because Japanese, they're always into respect, you know, bowing down and all that respect.
But they are very tough.
Yeah, that's right. Because culture. I saw Shogun, that movie Shogun with Michael Chamberlain. I don't know
Richard
if he
Chamberlain.
Went to
Richard Chamberlain.
Richard Chamberlain. Who's Michael Chamberlain? Richard Chamberlain. Back in the day, I don't know if he went to Juilliard, but I swear to God. Shogun. If you break the rules over back in the day, we're talking
James Clavell.
We're talking a few centuries ago, and you're an Englishman over there, but you were treated like a god. But what did he say? He didn't like the old guy hanging the pheasants out, like where they was what they did. He didn't like it, so he went. Oh, I really don't like it. It's just and he goes, and the old man who had done it his whole life, somehow they offended Richard Chamberlain, and he goes, all right, where is he? Look, you know, we'll make it up. And he goes, and the woman goes, shakes her head, goes, and he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, shakes her head, goes. No. He offended you. He goes, what? Yeah, he's been taken away and
killed.
They chopped his head off.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what makes the movie
honor based system. Honor based system of law.
The whole movie from that. I remember when I watched it as a kid. It becomes a different story after that. Like, so there's like a big lead up period as everyone's kind and everyone's nice. And then when that happens,
it's called
That's why you like brilliant movies like that. A little slow build up and then something like that. And then you go,
nasty.
Yeah. And then, then you've got conflict going all over the place. It's
interesting that Tom Cruise came over and did The Last Samurai, back in New Zealand.
Okay. Yeah,
so the whole samurai bushido is but an honor based system, which I think is fantastic. I've got no problem with it. I just find it it's kind of.
But when you see egos going, that's what everybody wants to see in a movie, don't you? Where you're almost on the same. No, until you get your head off. But I'm just saying, when you're on the same level, that's the kind of stuff you want to see in movies. Let's keep going through this Julia list, eh? So
I think the funniest thing is, can I just tell you this, the funniest thing ever?
Ving Rhames.
Wow. Ving Rhames, he's the Matrix.
Remember him?
No, sorry, Mission Impossible.
And not only that, I remember Ving Rhames, he was the one that gets butt-fucked in fucking Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. Yeah,
you remember that? He's the boss. Yeah. And remember Bruce Willis, yes. Him are dead enemies.
Yeah, and then he goes, me and my boys.
And then suddenly,
we're going to get medieval on his ass.
Yeah, get evil on his ass. Mr. Zed, or whatever. Mr. Zed's dead. That's classic, isn't it? Like, so,
good
isn't
movie.
That?
Good, great movie. Great 90s.
You can't, 90s how movie. Do you write a story where he goes back to get his, what? His revenge. Silly ass watch. He just randomly walks in front of his car and goes, oh, the fuck? He sees Bruce Willis about to take out his piece. He runs into him. That is like one of the funniest, like the whole movie.
I'm gonna have to suggest the 90s, as Dennis Weaver. Was it Dennis Weaver? No, Dennis. What's his name from Easy Rider? No, Easy from Easy Rider. He said, Dennis Hopper in that movie. I forget what it was when he said the 90s will make the 60s look like the 50s, and yes, they did. The film wise,
I bet he would. That sounds exactly what he would say. Yeah,
he did. I forget the movie, but
Do you want me to look up the quote?
Dennis Hopper.
The 90s? All right, I'll look up the quote. All right, give me a second. All right, hold on.
And I agree, I love the 90s. I was 30, so I was in my 30s all through the 90s, and I had a great time. I loved it. It was an awesome time. It's very exciting music. Culture, drugs, ecstasy and MDMA or whatever.
Oh yeah,
the coke everywhere.
Dennis Hopper, known for the quote, "Once we get to out of the 80s, the 90s are going to make the 60s look like the 50s." That's the way he said it. So once we get out of the 80s, the 90s are going to make the 60s look like the 50s, which he delivered in a movie called Flashback, which I swear to God, it's one of the first movies when I worked in the video store. When I got kicked out of the, it's a great movie, Flashback.
Fantastic.
It really is.
Who was in it apart from Dennis Hopper? He says dropping.
Flashback. I wonder if they had anyone famous in it.
No, it did. Y'all listening?
Rick and Roller, we're back after the break. Oh, wow.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Yeah, well.
You're listening to Rick and Roller episode number 39.
We're here. How much acid have you had, Rick? How much acid?
Excuse me.
You haven't had any acid? All right, how about some MDMA? Or how much coke? What is your drug of choice?
For at least a year. I'll say that now. At least a year. Cocaine, a wonderful drug.
I want some cake right now.
You know, episode number 39 on the 19th of July, 2025. And you're listening to Rick and Rulu talking about the old days.
We're talking about flashback 1990 with Dennis Hopper.
But who else was in it?
Kiefer Sutherland, Carol Kane, yep. Kathleen York, Alan Graff, Michael Caine.
Tell me someone bigger than that.
Paul Dooley, Seymour.
Seymour who?
Seymour's.
Hoffman.
No, I just think it was now a flashback.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. It's filmed.
To be honest, Rollo, the coincidence
is not only good, it was awesome. I loved everything about it.
This is the thing about video shops back in the day. Because that's Quentin Tarantino worked in a video shop. And all the people that I was most interested in to talk to worked in video shops back in the 80s and 90s. Because they were always movie tragics. Everyone that worked in the video shop were movie tragic. And I had this video shop that I used to go to that had the most attractive female back in the day. I don't know about now.
All good.
She was She was so good looking. And she knew all about movies. Yep. And she knew all about movies. Mm. And every guy in the area used to go in there just to talk to her. And her name was Samantha, but
Samantha's still alive. Are you still friends with Samantha, or is she years ago?
She doesn't look anything like she did back when I was infatuated with her.
I was Dexter today, and what's her name? The killer girl.
Dexter.
Uma Thurman's in it.
Thurman.
And, oh, my God. Uma.
I
thought was super sexy back then.
Don't tell me she looks terrible. Does she?
She.
Don't frighten me.
She. I wouldn't say terrible, but she.
She looks natural.
She looked like a. Her cheekbones. Look, I don't know if she's had work or anything like that. I think. She is perfect for the role of what she needs to do in Dexter.
Right.
But where's the Uma Thurman that I, you know?
She's beautiful. Well, you know that she said that Quentin.
I think it was even before Batman and Robin when she that most awful movie or the Val Kilmer one where she played. Yeah. I did like her with the
she
black.
She played Poison Ivy.
Yeah, Poison Ivy. That's right. Yeah. And the black hair in the Pulp Fiction. That's it. She looked cute in that. That's right. When she snorted heroin or something. That's right. And John Travolta thinks she's dying on her, and they have to.
No, what are they no, 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 no. It's not. No, no. That was not John Travolta. It was the guy that played. The kid, and he's disappeared out off the game.
Oh, right? I know. The redhead.
He was supposed to be the Michael J. Fox character in Back to the Future. But
my wife really had a fan. Hey, Christy, who's the redhead?
He got from some kind of Wonderful Future. Back to the Future, yeah.
Chrissy, who got sacked on the movie with Cher? Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz, yep, 100%. She's 10 out of 10. Christy's
correct.
Christy, yep. there's a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, 100%.
Yep.
Eric Stoltz. Now, he played in Cher's, that movie was Cher.
Okay.
what was the movie? And she played, and he played.
I've got to go to the fridge and get another beer.
Deformed son in that movie with Cher.
Oh yeah, Mask. I remember that one.
Remember that? Eric Stoltz was supposed to be the character that Michael J. Fox played in Back to the Future.
That's right.
They sacked him off that film.
Yeah, with good reason, apparently. Apparently, what was it? Zemeckis and Bob Gale.
Said he's a
Yeah, exactly. He was, what do you call it? Those method actors. Mm-hmm. You know, Juilliard.
I'll keep looking on the list.
But give me a second. I need to go to the bathroom.
I can't believe that about anyone that's listening to the show, and that's usually it's my three cats, but I've only got one now. And Rollo's dog.
No one.
That's our audience.
No one is listening. And the thing, I use this. Do you know what I use this for? Mostly.
What's that?
And it's called therapy. It's way better than going to, you know, if you go to these therapy sessions that they ask you to go to.
Yes.
You end up leaving and you want to kill yourself.
I reckon that's what those therapy sessions are for.
I'm not kidding.
To make you feel.
Do you think I'm joking?
I've never been to one. Well, no, I went.
Go to a group therapy.
I'm never doing that.
And look, and these people, these people have problems, and I'm sure that a lot of their problems are of their own.
Exactly. Yeah.
They've done it to themselves, which I have. I know guys.
I've got friends that were sexually abused by their one guy, their uncle.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but there you go.
Why is that funny to me? It's not funny, but he said to me, he goes, when he hears people having a big cry about their abuse when they're growing up, he told me the story about his. And he said, I just got over it and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't dwell on the past. And he said, if you dwell on the past, you're fucked. And I totally agree with him. If you feel like you're the victim, you've got to empower yourself and go, okay, that happened. The reason that happened is because, you know, this guy's mentally ill. I'm not going to get affected by this. I'm just going to move on and do my life the way I want to do it. If you allow yourself to feel the victim, and that's what these group therapy sessions, they're designed to make you feel useless and disempowered. Because you've got the power.
I wouldn't say it exactly like that, but it is depressing. And like the Samaritans, I can see what they're doing. And look, I only do it because I'm forced to do it. Exactly. Okay, I only say it's an hour long, and trust me, if you want to live forever, just live in a group therapy session. You will live forever because an hour feels like a year.
Yeah, I believe you.
Look, I've done it, and if I stop doing it, do you know what happens? The parole people, you know, Lacey, Janine Lacey and her friends, and her cop friends who could be dead.
Megan. What you used to say that.
Well, maybe I got a name wrong. Maybe because I'm hopeless with names. I call you. How many times have I called you? Yeah, have I called you Jake?
Yeah, not a few times.
And Velasquez's name's Joel. I've called him Jacob. I'm hopeless with names. It's my curse to bear. Let's keep going down this list of Juilliards, shall we? William Hurt, remember him?
Oh yeah,
I think you worked with.
No, sorry. I stood in front of
him. You worked with him on the movie of
Dark City.
There you go. How about that?
He was standing behind me, and Kiefer Sutherland was standing in front of me, and there we were queuing up to get bacon and egg rolls for breakfast.
I love it.
And I can remember going, I really wanted to turn around and talk to – I wanted to say to Keanu, Kiefer Sutherland, your father is so cool. You know, talking about his father and Kelly's Heroes. Yep. And I never did, and I regret that. I regret not saying, just tapping him on the shoulder and going, man, you really
like, – what would be the worst thing that he would have said?
Cool, friendly guy.
Do you reckon he would have been cool with it? Because I've heard so many stories where people, like, all they want to do is, like, I'm talking about actors talking to other actors. I heard a story where, I can't remember the actor, but Marlon Brando was, and he got to work with him. Like, we're talking.
Oh, yeah, Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, right? Yeah. And that was,
I said that to you.
Yes. I listened to that. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's tragic, isn't it?
Yeah, he said, never meet your heroes. I've seen that so many times.
But that's, that's probably top 10 of classic stories. Jack Nicholson, Marlon Brando. You can't get bigger than that in Hollywood history. And can you relay the story? Relay the story again.
I could have spoken to all those people I was hanging around back in the 90s, you know, in those films, and I never did.
No, but retell Jack Nicholson when he wanted to.
Oh, no, well, Jack Nicholson had grown up with, you know, bad background story, you know, and they always have these bad background stories, but he said he'd watched on the waterfront, he'd watch him, literally taking on this personality and totally changing the whole film just by his personality. But when he met him, he said he was so disappointed because he refused to learn his lines because Jack Nicholson's a pro actor.
So the movie, guaranteed. So the movie was called Chinatown. So Jack.
Talking. The interview might have been on Chinatown, but
no, the movie was Jack, Chinatown, and he no, was so when
Jack, Jack Nicholson got to no, when Jack Nicholson got to on. There was a movie called The Two Jakes, or the Two.
No,
Jack.
The Two Jakes.
Two Jakes.
Way later, Marlon was.
That was 1960s that they did The Two Jakes, but. Chinatown was in the 76, 77.
Anyway, the story was Marlon Brando was lazy.
He refused to learn his lines.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard from this
chick that came around, and I was having a drink with her in my own house, and she'd worked on that film, she was on the movie
The Matrix.
Way before Matrix, Kiefer Sutherland, the guy that played that we were just talking about him. Everyone was on this film.
William Hurt.
No, sorry.
Did you just do a bumper coke?
I'm talking about the film that was based on the film Island of Dr. Moreau. Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando were on this film. Mm-hmm. And Marlon Brando did exactly what Jack Nicholson was complaining about on that interview that I sent to you.
Mm.
He had no interest in learning his lines. He would just turn up and he'd just say, you make it up,
you know, put the line above these people's heads. And he was so rude to everybody.
Yeah.
And having on that same film, though, you know, Val Kilmer, who's got another ego at a different level over the top. So
I think it's a Kilmer's question. Ego. Hey, Rick, I think it's a question of when you meet people,
your hero,
in the different period of their lives. Jack Nicholson is a.
No, he just said
he said
in that interview, he said, "I was consummate. So looking forward to being on this film set."
Have you never ever been disappointed when it doesn't matter whether you're in the same game or you just wanted an autograph when you were a kid, like a football player or something, and they were rude, exactly.
Yeah, this happens all the time with celebrities, because celebrities get, this is the whole thing about the word star, film star, they get magnified to be above.
Well, they're all TikTokers now, as you were saying at the beginning of Rick and Rollo tonight. I wonder how your, the fella who, what does he do?
Spanion.
Yeah, Mr. Spanion. So again, I wouldn't know him from a bar or so, but is he nice to all his,
he is.
Wow.
Now, so, because he's been in jail for, say he's 40, maybe. He spent 15 years in jail and he had no money and whatever. And all of a sudden he's got celebrity, but he remembers what it was like to be a nobody. And so he treats people when they come up to him and go, "Oh, can I please have a photo?" Instead of saying, "Fuck off," like I'm going to have to tell you now, a lot of your big hero actors out there will not stand and have a photo. Yeah, they'll just tell you, "Fuck off, you're annoying me." And they've had their egos built up, and they've been called stars. And what are stars? They're above you.
Yeah.
A film. And so they feel that they've got all this thing. So that's my classic job.
Yeah.
And so when I was doing working in this thing,
did you have to stroke their ego? Like when you took Carrie Ann Moss to the bathroom.
I treated them like they treated me.
Yeah.
The whole way. And therefore there was no problem because I just said,
that's right.
You think you're better than me. No, you're not.
Was any of them ever rude?
No.
We all heard the Tom Cruise story don't look him in the eye.
Robert Wagner talked when I asked him something or other, the way he looked at me was like, what are you talking to me for?
Okay.
And I remember thinking,
Were you new to the job at that time?
Yeah, very new, extremely new.
Yeah, brand new. See, sometimes if you're new to the job,
you don't realize
how these people react. Yeah.
So that was a really good training thing, because the fact that I spent the first job I ever did with Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers and all these other people.
Good on you, man.
I
love that show. When I was a kid, I loved Heart to Heart. What wasn't to love about it? It was just a real simple show. And I did not know that they did it here in Australia.
They're both still alive and still still going. But what I did is I realized where I stood in the situation, and that was a nobody.
I like Robert Wagner in what was it in that where he had the eye patch on?
Yeah, that was
with the what was that? That piss take on James Bond. But it's nice that Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
No matter what
your age, you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Saturday, the 19th of July, 2025, Rick and Rollo, 39. What are we going to call this one? The Juilliard of the when it comes to what does fame mean to you? Is it is this is this new thing? I forgot your name, Rick. it just hit this big thing on TikTok. It's this tech giant and his who's not his wife. It's become a big TikTok thing. Have you seen it? At a Coldplay concert, they put the the spotlight on you.
Onto
these two. And she's got bigger arms than him. Have you seen the guns on her?
No.
Yeah. Well, look at this TikTok. She's got bigger guns than him. And Chris
Martin.
It'll be
Martin, big on the EGI.
Chris Martin from Coldplay goes, when they duck away, he goes, are they having an affair? Chris Martin. From Coldplay.
Look, it sounds to me it's set up. It sounds like a setup to me.
Seem a little set up.
And just remember, Chris Martin's ex-wife was Iron Man's.
Chris Martin's wife is the beautiful. What's her name?
She's not beautiful.
Huh?
Goop.
What's her name?
She markets Goop. Gwyneth Paltrow. Exactly. Yeah. And so the whole thing sounds like a setup to me. I have to say that as a conspiracy theorist.
I absolutely love Gwyneth Paltrow. I think she's an absolute freak show. But what is she? Yeah, she sells what?
She looks goop. Like, G-O-O-P.
No, yeah. Her vagina into soap off her website.
She marketed a candle that smelled like a
goop.
Vagina.
Yeah. So there you go. No, not good. That up. You couldn't make that shit up, could you? Mm. Look, Gwyneth Paltrow, I've always thought was absolutely gorgeous.
When she was in her 20s and 30s and 40s, Emma. Maybe, but now she looks
Emma with our beloved. What was her name? The Australian. What was her name? Toni Collette.
Toni Collette.
Yeah.
She's good looking. She's still attractive.
Absolutely. But they were in Emma together. It was absolutely an awesome retake of a Shakespeare play, Emma. It was a woman. Hold on, my wife's correcting me. Was Emma Shakespeare or
Emma.
Jane Austen. See?
Okay.
Shows what a Palestine I am.
Philistine.
My wife and you are correcting me at the same time. Philistine. Yeah, I don't even Palestine. Know what a...
That's
yeah,
so funny.
Exactly.
Hey, Rollo, what are we going to end the show with musically? Because we'll have to...
I'd love to go out with... Coldplay Clocks.
No. Oh, we could if you want.
No. You.
No.
Connie Francis? Is there a song?
The music I'm listening to is Kneecap that are absolutely getting cancelled globally.
Yeah. All right. Why?
Because of their stand. We premiered Kneecap about 10, 15 episodes ago.
Let me look up Kneecap. I'll send it to Velocet. There we go.
This one's called Recap. Kneecap Recap.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look. Yeah.
And they are just getting into all sorts of trouble. The funniest thing, though, the fact that, Rollo, you're related to Michael... the Irish
Michael Collins. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
If you contacted Kneecap and said, look, I'm from the same lineage as Michael Collins, because I can tell you, there's no doubt that you've got Michael Collins' genes in you after what I've seen you go through. For sure. You're a rebel. You are an Irish rebel without any doubt whatsoever. And Kneecap are from Belfast, and they got cancelled. They got kicked out of America because they are standing up and saying things about Palestine, as we just talked about by mistake before, but it is Palestine and the Palestinians. And look, I've never been there. I've got no idea what's going on. But I do love any band that people say, you shouldn't be listening to this band. And all of a sudden, I'll go, oh, straight away, listen to that band. But Kneecap Recap, I think it'd fit them.
Yeah, it's Kneecap featuring Mosey, the Recap, a visual video. I just sent that to you, Velocet, right now. So we'll go out with that on July 19, 2025.
Rolla is the direct lineage of Michael Collins, the Irish hero.
Lineage of Michael Collins, exactly. Played by Liam Neeson in that friggin' awesome movie. Yeah, I swear to God, I went and I saw his grave over when I was over there with
fantastic.
That Irish fellow, I had a really good time with. Anyway,
I wonder how he's going. I wonder how he's going.
His name is Delacroix. Delacroix. Yeah.
Delacroix.
I know his little doggy died, but you know he was old dog anyway. Mine's still going strong and tough. Mine's got 10 more years left in it, and I swear tonight's conversation, I wouldn't have thought.
You know, could have
got
thing,
like you know on my list. I've got four things on my list.
Yeah. The funniest thing is when you said to me tonight when I rang you the first time, because we don't speak during the week. Everything on Rick and Roll is total random. And I rang him and he said, we've got nothing to talk about. There's no one that's died this week. And I said, well, Connie Francis, you know, blah. And I'm telling you.
We could. All right. Okay. Air. Do you want to bring it into a
serious? Anyway, shush. Oh, he's here. Mute, and we'll come back after.
Zu blässle, tätschem dore kedes, leuderin, kühlschwadje, tamse tore the rich, unreal the sanition bets, kneecap, give them a frisk, spur on land, no deba, we know they've got more than this, grab lava, I'm a stroll to the bank, get me Cammy's money and give her my thanks, we'll call it reparations, but the knock your wank, try to take my money, but I came and collected it. Out on a volley, you like to think that you're fooling everybody.
But you're not, just like the average idiot. Your career is gonna rock. Her arm for old you clock. You hear me? Had a smart cap, a rationation. Raw, the current guard is short. I got the right, now it's chin to the hop. Me, Wally, the Maggie, call the Lisa, love you, lad. From a king, can the reaches come a giggle, Kim a dad. Captain Cold, on the top, cops a lizard, can the rock. Throw the crack, or raise a fella from the lower whack. Will they see me, chat, I'll allow it in a vote.
They shouldn't be playing Glastonbury.
Them to remove this
despicable evil which Kneecap represents.
Absolutely not.
Sorry, Kneecap.
Shame on Glastonbury.
Glastonbury, I'm a free man!
No, in the hill of fire, it's Kneecap, the recap, we have a forest.
good effort, Cammy. Power lines in the elections, and onwards and upwards. Free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine! Free, free Palestine!